verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we bow our head and our heart, and we do so asking for your help. Be with us and stand by us. Give us the abilities that we do not possess. And may you help us this morning to feed the flock of God which you've gave me oversight. I will thank you, Father, for your help, for with your touch, all things are possible. And we give you the glory and the honor through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the church said,
amen.
For a few minutes, I'd like to speak to you on how to keep footing in a crumbling world. How to keep footing in a crumbling world. It is said by some historians that the book of Jude just barely made the canon. I don't know that that be true, but I do know that in this book, it's unparalleled in some of the truths that it presents. It is one of those rare books that are not very wide and not very long, but one that was breathed upon by the Holy Ghost and saved and put in the position of this last portion of the Bible, right up bumping the book of Revelation, because it has more to do with me and you in our day than it did have to do with the first century Christians in their day. It's one of those prophetic outlooks that looks beyond time and leaps over thousands of years and comes down squarely into a generation that needs to be warned and needs to be encouraged and exhorted. It comes down to our day. And this scriptures that we have before us, he gets his resume or resume. It's not very much at all. He just simply states it right here. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. That's all he says of himself. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. To the first century Christians, everybody understood that. To us, we have to ask, who's James? We all know who Jesus Christ is. It is said that Jude's name was really Judas. Because of Judas Iscariot, he changed it and shortened it to Jude so there wouldn't be no conflict. And he didn't want the stigmatism of that name. So we have the book of Jude looking at us this morning. And what it is in its broken and ragged and bold and picturesque and energetic and glowing with fires of passion, you see a man who is set for the defense of the gospel. And there he stands in his day. He starts out to talk about this glorious gospel. When I gave all diligence to you to write unto you the common salvation. That was his goal. That was why he picked his pen up. But in the writing of this epistle, his mind was changed by the Holy Ghost, because we do believe that scriptures are inspired. And that the Holy Ghost moved upon men, and they wrote as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. So you can see this Jude sitting here, ready with pen in hand, and his mind filled with this common salvation to turn this pen into information about how to get saved and what salvation meant and how to keep your salvation. But in the midst of it, something happens to him, and his subject is taken from him, and another subject is given to him. You have to be a preacher, probably, to understand that you have your mind all day on one scripture, right when the night the sun is setting and the evening is coming and your appointment in the pulpit is there, and all of a sudden it's taken from you and something else is put in its place. Somebody has made up their mind to come to church that night. Somebody has decided or come in with a problem. Something has happened that day, and the Holy Ghost changes the whole context of what is going to be spoken. So that's where Jude is. When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Something disturbing had happened. He was ready to talk about salvation, and he ends up talking about contending. Amen. Can anybody out there say amen?
Amen.
His prophetic missionary was just ready to help God's people. But then he was interrupted by bad news. There's always dealing with bad news. Bad news comes to churches, and sometimes it is carried by people who we really don't expect bad news from. But there's always, in every church, people who make it their business to peddle bad news.
Yes, sir. Well,
and then it had been got to Jude, and Jude was taking up his pen to try to counteract the effects of this bad news to his church and to the people that he loved. Jude's message was designed to stabilize the effect of this bad news. And some people had crept in. There's some people who had not done right, and therefore they were packing gospel that was tainted with just that germ that would break out into an epidemic unless it was handled right. Bad news. Bad news is that some people can look so right and be so wrong.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Bad news is that they can be so talented and yet so deadly. Bad news. That inspiring thing about salvation was suddenly erased, and the fear and the magnitude of what this could do to a young church got a hold of Jude, until Jude said, look, there's only one way to turn this down and to get this out, and that is for all of us to contend for the faith that was once delivered. We must not just be passive about this. We must contend for it. There's some things that are still worth fighting for. There's some things that we must be ready to defend. And Jude was talking about that because he knew that this bad news was going to be peddled. You just can't hardly keep from having it peddled. There are people who take great joy in peddling it, and they like to pass it on. And therefore, there has to be someone who stands up and says, not so. That's not what the gospel means. That's not what that means. That's not what that should be. You're wrong. It's so hard to get people to be able to admit they're wrong. That's why the devil can peddle it so easy, is because we don't want to admit we erred. Because when we do, people start saying, well, then if you're wrong there, are you wrong here? And are you wrong there? And are you wrong over here? And what about this? And is this right? And all of a sudden, the whole fabric of the church is loosened, and the unity is broken, simply because somebody is peddling bad news. There is opposition. It is in life. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
If you can't say amen, at least smile at me. There is opposition. No matter where you think that you can go, you're always going to find that there's a need sometimes to shift from the offense to the defense. You just can't always go plowing down. As a boy, I learned that, plowing behind a little horse. And when we would be in new ground, we had to be very careful because it was roots that could really jerk you and slam a plow handle right into your ribs and give you a jolt. You'd have to learn that you just couldn't just plow through it. Sometimes you'd have to lift your plow blade up, go over the root, come back with an axe, take care of the root. There's sometimes that you have to shift from offense to defense. If we're going to see what Jude is trying to tell us, he's telling us now, in this world of opposition, no matter who you are or where you go to church or how good you live, after a while, opposition's going to come. Amen. Jude reminds Christians that you can't just droop and shrivel under opposition. You've got to stand up. You've got to contend for the faith. If this faith is right, then somebody comes along and tells you you're still in bondage. You're still in darkness. There's a new light. There's a new liberty. You don't have to do like that. That's not the way you have to live anymore. Sound familiar? If you want to wilt and succumb, that's an out. There's a lot of churches that will tell you that the way that we preach is so obsolete that we're in the Stone Age. But yet we sit here knowing that sometimes we must just defend what we believe. Amen. You see, there was a time, even as it is in Jude's day, where the church was flourishing, kept pure by the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost take care of Ananias, Sapphira. The Holy Ghost would take care of people just like that. He would drop them out of the church. They didn't have to resign or move to another church or go to another church. The Holy Ghost would fix it. They just put them in the graveyard and went on with the church. The Holy Ghost don't do that today. Amen. But he is still in charge of the church. And therefore, he moves in ways and means that doesn't always suit us. Sometimes we don't like hard preaching. We don't like people who stand up. We don't like people who talk to us rough. But there are sometimes when contending, you can't use kid gloves. You've got to expose error for error. Can the water replace the blood? Can the water ever replace the blood? Then somebody who comes along and tells you that your sins are forgiven by the water has done away with the scripture where it said, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You can't handle that with kid gloves. There's some errors that have to be exposed as error and stood up against and said that it's wrong. Can I get some help here? See, Jude was just saying, I would have loved this other subject a whole lot better to being able to write it to you of this common salvation. How it's free to everybody. How whosoever will covers everything. That you can be of any class, of any case, and you can be of any skin color, and that whosoever will come. You don't even have to speak my language. You can still come. You can have a dialect, but you can still come. You can be outcast, but you can still come. You can be a thief on a cross, dying within hours, and still make it in. That's whosoever will. That's a common salvation. It reaches to everybody. But contending for the faith means you've got to go on the defense and say, from this we will not back up. Amen. There's a time and a place to dig in. And if ever there was a day in which we live, that is the time and the place to dig in. Our whole civilization is crumbling. Look at home. You know how the devil got into home? We used to have what we call home. Home was where family was. But now, how many of you can say anything about a home life? Home life in America is almost an obsolete thing. There used to be a father and a mother that made up home. Now in America, there is a lot of unwed mothers. And the households are just one parented. You don't have to help me preach. And home has been attacked. The last frontal attack on the home was when Harry could marry Jerry. And whatever lady's name you can put in there, marry the other lady's name that you could put in there. It's just to rip the fabric of home up. God never intended for two women to raise a family. Never intended for two men to parent a family. That's okay. You don't have to help me preach. There's a place now where we must come to the defense of home. We must say that the underwriting factors of what's tearing us up is our home life is not strong, and therefore our church life is not strong. For we draw our strength from our families. And if the family is malfunctioning, then the church will malfunction. Because we draw our strength from our families. If dad is strong in his convictions and mother is the amener of dad's convictions, then the children will say, my family believes this. Amen. So there is this underlying current that Jude is trying to cut off. And they were mismatched because in that day the education belonged to those of the Judaistic part. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and those people who were coming to Christianity out of those educated ranks, they brought with them the taint of sacrifice and the need of keeping the feast and the need of circumcision and all of this Judaism was sweeping into Christianity, and there was no one that was bold enough or wise enough until the Apostle Paul got converted to stand up and argue with them. So Jude takes his pen, anointed of the Holy Ghost, and says, well, I am not one of them, and I am not educated, and I can't write like other people can write, but I can tell you what I'm thinking. And this is what I'm thinking. It's now time for us to come and contend for the faith. If we don't contend for it, we're going to lose it. And I don't know whether you understand this or not, Garden Road, but it's no time to be just floating down the stream, because it takes effort to go upstream. Amen. You can float all day, but it's going to take you downstream. If you want to get upstream, it's going to take some muscle and sweat, and it's going to take some effort. If we're ever going to go against the tide, which we are, because we are the oddballs now of our society, our women doesn't deck themselves out like the Bible says they shouldn't. They don't wear a lot of cosmetics and jewelry, and I hope they don't wear any cosmetics. Our men still believe in covering themselves up, and in a society in which we live, that's odd. Now, used to, we would look at these guys with the spiked hair and the attire, and we would say, boy, that's odd. And now the same group that said that's odd, when they used to see hippies of our day, they said, boy, there goes a hippie. That's a genuine hippie. Look at that hippie. You see? But now they say, boy, look at that one right there. That, what are you, Amish? Odd. We're pointed out as odd. But there was a day when the Presbyterians practiced holiness, and the Baptists practiced holiness, and the Methodists practiced holiness. There was a day when there was a lot of people who believed in morals. I do have the library to back up my statements. I've got some books that go back into the 1700s. I can take you back and show you some preaching where they were scalding hot against worldliness. But today we are taught tolerance. Not to be tolerant in our society means that you are a schizophrenic. You go around talking to yourself. You say you hear from God. And God's speaking to you. That you pray and you hear voices. And then begin to say, aha, I told you. Those people. And we're becoming the crowd of those people. And the only way that we can keep from just being overrun by the flood that's coming against us, the only way that we can keep our footing in a crumbling world is to know where we stand and be ready to stand. And when you've done all, stand. Take a stand for something. Take a stand for right. Take a stand for God. Take a stand for morality. Take a stand. And it's that day, if we don't take a stand, and holiness keeps our mouth shut, and we don't say that preachers need ethics as well as the members needing ethics, we're getting as bad as the Catholics in covering up our preacher's sins and sending them off to another church. We say the Catholics are not to do that. Well, we're trying it now ourselves. I think, my precious people, if we are going to be accountable, which we must be, and we are going to be accountable to God, then right is right and wrong is wrong, and it matters how God sees it, not how I see it. If it's in the book and God says no, then it's no from that day to this day. We cannot fight against the educated. There are people who can take us and tie us in knots. Amen. One, I think it was old Sam Jones, said, I would rather my children be able to recite their ABCs than to speak Greek and Hebrew and be wrong.
Right.
It is in our day, that we are finding ourselves confronted by, in this last day, this perilous times, there's going to come a spirit of deception. And many shall give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, that was put in there for our generation. Seducing spirits, doctrine of devils. It is time to come back and to the very core of what we're trying to hold on to. I'm no longer worried about if I can make it, but I look at my grandchildren and I say, what chance have they got? And I look at these children held in the arms of these mothers and I say, what chance have they got? Will there be any truth? Will there be any faith? And Jesus said, and when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith? In the earth? And yet we sit passive. No matter what view you take of our society, no matter what view you take of our world or our nation, you will see that around the edges it's crumbling. It's crumbling socially. Never was there so many things that were so wrong 15 years ago that are so right today. Well, let me preach. I'm going to have to preach without you, so just let me preach. Since when did it get right to shack up? Since when is it right for young people to live together without the sanction of God? And yet America is flooded with it. She's living with him. He's living with her. They're living together as though it's no sin. Are you not helping me preach? Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible said that no fornicator will have any part in the kingdom of God. What does the Bible say? That no adulterer shall have any part in the kingdom of God. What does the Bible say? It's not what I say or you say or how you feel about it. They're good kids. They're just a little bit, you know, no. In the eyes of God, it is still sin. Economically, we've never seen a crisis in America. Our nation talking about bankruptcy. States talking about bankruptcy. Cities talking about bankruptcy. And most of our people on the verge of bankruptcy. Economically, look at Europe. All of a sudden, economically, it's not so good. Politically, who in the world are you going to vote for? Where is the leader that we can have confidence in? Where is that praying man? Where is that person that won't lie to us? Politically, intellectually, we've got a lot now of people with education and can't even find a job. Morally, go to the mall. It'll preach my sermon. Spiritually, we've watched Pentecost go to pieces. Talking in tongues, living like the devil, looking like Jezebel, clowning around like Ahab. We know it is so wrong. And yet we try still to make amends for them. They're just good people. Good people can go to hell. They need a clarion voice. They need that these disturbing signs of decay and deterioration. Need someone to shout, man, get off sure footing.
Amen.
Get off of that sand and get on the rock.
Amen.
Get away from that broad way and get to the narrow. Come out from among them and be a shepherd, saith the Lord. There is a clarion call today of separation. You cannot go around doing this. You cannot do it. Your society will drag you down.
Amen.
Your society will defoot you. It will kick your props up from under you. It will destroy you.
Amen.
Professors will tell you there is no God.
Amen.
Here we are. To keep footing, to walk steady strides in this world, one needs to be spiritually energized. Because it just takes and saps your strength. We come to church wore out. Wore out from what? Contending with this world. It's not the job so much as it is contending with those around us. You want to stick your finger in this ear and put it in this ear and hope none of that cussing gets in there. You listen to that stupid music all day long and you come out of work humming it. And you're hoping it didn't get in your heart. You can't hardly wait to get home to take a bath and hope that it washes some of it off. But you got to come to church and get under the blood to get the rest of it out. We got signs of decay. This is very bad. We need staying power. We need to be able to contend. And once you lose your footing, You're going to slip and slide for a long time before you get it back. You know, you can lose your footing by one awkward step. You can end up crippled, limping the rest of your life because of one awkward step.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's why the Bible said God can order your steps. God can guide you around the pit. God can get you out of the snare. God can expose the net. The devil is out to defoot you. He's out to put you on your back. He wants you down. He wants you discouraged. He wants you blue. He wants you sad. He wants you discouraged with church. He wants you to say, God, don't answer prayer. It's just not like it used to be. Ever hear that? Well, that's the day you live in. You're almost slipping. Look at this. You can watch your step. You hear it? Watch your step. Amen. In the summertime, we don't do too much of it. But I was standing out there in the parking lot one day when a girl walked out of our fellowship hall and turned her ankle on a piece of gravel. She hit that piece of gravel just right. It rolled and whack. Down she went. She never thought that a reason for falling was within 50 miles of her. And carelessly, she went walking without looking where she was stepping. And she stepped on that one just big enough to twist her ankle and put her down. We got over there to her and said, "You all right?" She said, "I think I'm all right." That's all she could say. "I think I'm all right." It addled her. "I think I'm all right." She didn't know if she was all right. And sometimes we come to church after a fall in the day that was over something so small and minute, it never thought that it would upset us, but it threw us off of our feet and we landed on our back and we were looking up embarrassed because we wasn't watching our step. Watch your step when you go to talk to an unbeliever. Watch your step when you go to talk to a believer. Watch your ways. Watch what you're doing. Watch your step. Because an awkward step can put you down. Amen. The Bible. Parents and teachers and preachers should adhere to the Bible. We should try to make the Bible the Word of God, not just a book. It may be the best seller, but it's not the most read. In fact, they say that it's a best seller and the less read book there is. Why? Because the devil has taken away the thrill of exploration. He's taken away the thrill of hearing God speak from this book. We read it because we have to. We read it quickly to get our chapter in. We read it real steady to get through the year and say, "I've read my Bible through," but what in the world did you retain? Did you catch those words? Watch and pray? Did you hear? Watch your step? Did you know you got an adversary? He goes about like a roaring lion? Amen. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
This is where we're at. Parents, teachers, preachers, all of us. We must unite under the cause of getting ready to defend. We must contend now for the faith or lose it. Why are we seeing people praying through to the Holy Ghost? Why do so many people come to our altar and get up unsaved and unconverted? Why do they shed tears at our altar and never change? I can tell you, my friend, when Zion travails, she'll bear children, but she won't bear children till she travails. We've got to come back to the very contending for it and say to God, "These souls are important. They're going out of our church lost, thinking they're saved." Well, I prayed last night. I feel better. Feel better does nothing for you as far as salvation. You need to know so salvation. Oh, help me, Jesus. The admonition to watch is prevalent in the Word of God. Look at Samson. Well, he was unique. Chosen of God from his birth. Anointed of God. He ascends the ladder of fame and power and prestige in his nation. And then that just only only caused him to become more at ease. Instead of fearing the fall, he taunted the fall. How can a man who is in his right mind lay in the lap of Delilah and knowing that the only thing between you and defeat is your hair and keep on referring to your hair? He was taunting it. He didn't think it could happen. That's why you've got those scriptures in there which says, and he went out as other times and shook himself and knew not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. You can taunt and think it'll never happen to you. You can think you can come back any time and pray. But you may come back and find out there's a time when God says, all right, you want to play with Delilah? Then I'm going to let Delilah play with you. And Delilah plays hard. It cost him his eyes. It cost him his freedom. It cost him his life. And never forget that sin, and man will kill you. It's the deadliest poison ever been introduced to the human family. A little bit of it will take you out.
Hallelujah.
This is true with individuals. He'll kill you. And when a nation starts practicing sin, it'll go down. Look at America. That would have been a day when our forefathers would have just thrown a fit to have a Supreme Court in America that decides it's all right to murder babies and protect frogs. A snail has more power of protection. An eagle has more power of protection than a child. You don't have to say amen, it's a truth anyway. And you think it's not time to pray? You think it's not time to watch your step? I tell you, a church can be crippled by